It is May 18th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous day's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Sailing legend Buddy Malgus, the Wizard of Zenda, has died. Malgus Performance Sailboats announced on Facebook. Buddy was an Olympic gold and bronze medalist and America's Cup winner among his many sailing victories. I sailed against his sons Harry and Hans on Geneva Lake on Cub boats as a kid. Hans later gave up a career in the family sailboat business for a while to join the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and trade on the trading floor. Buddy impacted many lives with his sailing wisdom, the boats he built, the sails he cut, and the friendly way he spread his passion for sailing. In a video titled "The Wizard of Zenda," several sailor traders from the Chicago Board of Trade are featured, including Brian Porter and John Porter. John Porter taught me to sail when I was a boy. I still own a Malgus sailboat, a Class C scow. I am also sad to report the passing of Zoe Victoria Zerkowski, the daughter of KRM-22's Dave Zerkowski. The Zerkowskis live in Elmhurst, and Zoe graduated from York Community High School in the class just behind my son Robbie. Condolences to the Zerkowski family on the loss of Zoe. Real estate mogul and one-time Chicago Tribune owner Sam Zell has died at the age of 81, the Chicago Tribune reported. Zell was a disaster as the owner of the Tribune. The Chicago Tribune posted the obituary for Fred Allman, who died earlier this week. Fred's memorial gathering is today, May 19th, 2023, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Lakeshore Country Club, 1255 Sheridan Road, Glencoe. I made a donation to the Moraine Township Charitable Fund, which supports the Moraine Township's food pantry in honor of Fred's life. Thank you to all who have donated to the GoFundMe campaign to support Jason Billups, who suffered a traumatic brain injury and several broken bones, including his pelvis, in a fall from the roof of his rental home in Kelowna, B.C. Jason is in a coma, and his family needs your financial and emotional support. Please see yesterday's newsletter or the GoFundMe site for more details. There are a couple of really bad stories for the oil industry today. One story tells how the oil industry in California will not make enough money to clean up the, quote, nearly quarter million wells scattered from downtown Los Angeles to western Kern County and across the state, ProPublica reported. The second bad story for the oil industry is a story from Grist with the title, "Study: A third of the West burns forest can be traced to fossil fuel companies." The story says, while a century of fire suppression and other land management choices contribute to the severity, climate change is a key factor fueling these fires, roughly doubling the acreage burned over the last 40 years. The CME reported in a tweet that convexity in the 10-year Treasury Volatility Index is rising as debt ceiling negotiations intensify, which suggests the market is pricing in a premium for potentially large moves in either direction. You can learn more about the CME's Volatility Index, CVOL, on a page on the CME's website. Evan Gerchkovich remains in a Russian prison, unjustly detained for more than 50 days. We call for his immediate release. Should you buy wine futures? Bloomberg has a story titled, "The 2022 Bordeaux Wine Vintage is Brilliant and a Big Surprise." So maybe the answer is yes, you should have bought the 2022 futures. The FIA is hiring a business development coordinator. The details for the job are available with the link in today's newsletter. For you Washington, D.C. types, there's an equestrian property in Great Falls, Virginia, that is listed for $17.995 million that includes an approximately 24,500 square foot home. Amenities include an indoor pool located in a glass solarium, an elevator, a wine cellar, a screening room, a billiards room, and a home gym with a sauna. The Wall Street Journal reported, "Looks nice if you had to live near D.C." Now that Mother's Day is out of the way, we can focus on Father's Day. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled, "20 Best Gifts for Golfers." That should give you some ideas. I finally received my 2022 tax refund from the IRS this week. They are catching up. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our FIA Boca 2023 coverage. Martin Franchi talks to JLN about NinjaTrader's acquisitions and redesign and the tremendous growth in the retail space. Martin Franchi, the CEO of NinjaTrader, spoke with JLN at FIA Boca in March 2023 about the integration of Tradavate and other acquisitions, the redesign of NinjaTrader, and the growth in technology and in the retail space. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Spoofing shop scammer who helped criminals pose as bankers jailed for 13 years. T.J. Fletcher pleaded guilty to masterminding spoofing shop. Criminals used iSpoof tools to pretend to be from major banks. The mastermind behind a global spoofing shop that scammed victims out of as much as 100 million pounds, that's 125 million U.S. dollars, has been sentenced to over 13 years in a U.K. prison. T.J. Fletcher, 35, pleaded guilty over his role as the lead administrator of the website iSpoof.cc, an online shop where criminals bought a subscription to buy scamming tools. He was charged with fraud and criminal property offenses between 2020 and 2022. My comment, the judge has a business called iJail that you are going to get acquainted with, Mr. Fletcher. Here's another story from Bloomberg. The headline, Wall Street built a $370 billion business cloning quant trades. Biggest banks are producing thousands of QIS for large clients. Strategies surged in popularity as quants triumphed in 2022. Deep in the bowels of Wall Street, there's a surprisingly successful counterfeiting operation underway. The world's largest banks have created a booming business churning out imitation quant trades. JP Morgan Chase & Company, Goldman Sachs Inc., and Morgan Stanley are among those hawking the products, which are known by the deceptively dreary name Quantitative Investment Strategies, or QIS. My comment, imitation is the highest form of flattery and one of the easiest ways to profit from someone else's genius. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, Carl Icahn admits mistake with bearish bet that cost $9 billion. Quote, if I kept the parameters I always believed in, I would have been fine, concedes activist. Carl Icahn has admitted he was wrong to make a huge bet that the market would crash after the ill-fated trade cost his group lost about $1.8 billion in 2017 on hedging positions that would have paid out if asset prices had tumbled before losing a further $7 billion between 2018 and the first quarter of this year. My comment, what is the definition of an overnight trade? It is a losing trade, of course. It is important to stay true to your trading rules, as Mr. Icahn has attested. Here's the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was GoFundMe page for Jason Phillips, who is in intensive care with a severe brain injury after a terrible accident. He's actually in a coma. Second was zero-day options are reordering the way the stock market behaves from Bloomberg. Third was Russia says hypersonic missile scientists face, quote, very serious, unquote, treason accusations from Reuters. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline, global carbon market in turmoil after Zimbabwe grabs offset money, a government claiming half the revenue from privately backed efforts to protect forests and cut emissions might throw carbon credit projects around the world into doubt. The global market for carbon offsets is worth about $2 billion today and projected to grow to as much as $1 trillion in 15 years, even as it faces fundamental questions about credibility and effectiveness. Add government appropriation to the list of risks for this climate solution. A shock announcement this week that Zimbabwe will take half of all revenues generated from offset projects developed on its territory is a harbinger of an uncertain future in the carbon trade. The African nation is the world's 12th largest creator of offsets, with 4.2 million credits from 30 registered projects last year, according to Bloomberg MNEF. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, crypto trading is headed for the fringes after flirting with mainstream. Liquidity dropping off with retrenchment by Jane Street jump. Market makers pullback is, quote, bad for the industry, trader says. First, the crypto lenders imploded, then the industry's second largest exchange collapsed. Next to go were the crypto-friendly banks. In the latest blow, major trading firms, the players responsible for the market's plumbing, are now retrenching as Jane Street Group, Jump Trading, and other major firms pull back from crypto trading in the U.S. amid heightened regulatory scrutiny. The market is quickly becoming less liquid, less mainstream, and less attractive to institutional investors. That's leaving the new landscape of digital asset trading looking a lot like the crypto industry of the not-too-distant past. Funkier, scrappier, and riskier. And then here's a story from the New York Post. SPACs liquidating faster this year than in 2022. We're less than halfway through the year, but nearly $30 billion from so-called blank check companies has already been returned to investors. That's about 50% ahead of the pace set in 2022, when a whopping $45 billion from special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, got liquidated and sent back home, according to data compiled by SPAC Insider, an industry research firm. Between debt ceiling and bank failures, it's been a rough start of the year, Christy Marvin, SPAC Insider's founder and CEO, told On the Money. Everything has been ground to a standstill. It's really challenging to get a deal done now, no matter which way you slice it. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.